Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, today we come to the second area of devotions that church members commit themselves to in committing themselves to the church covenant, an agreement that they enter into by becoming the member of a church that has this covenant or a similar one. And you remember that paragraph 3 says, we engage also to main family and secret devotions. We talked about the secret or personal or private devotions on the broadcast yesterday. And now we want to talk about family devotions, or sometimes called family altar or family worship, various names that are used for it. And let me say that by my observation, I would state that it appears to me that there are more people, more Christians, who observe personal devotions than are involved in family devotions. That the idea of family worship has fallen on hard times. It used to be very common among Bible-believing Christians. It used to be something that virtually every home maintained. But I find that today, the homes that do this are in the minority, even in the best of churches. And that should not be. And I recognize that it's a product of a busy age in which we live. It's the product of many, many factors that have come together. But I just am confident that we've got to fight for family devotions. Our forefathers who put together the words of this covenant more than 150 years ago understood the importance of this. And so that's why they put it in. By committing yourself to a local church that has this covenant or a similar one, you are saying, we promise to maintain family worship, family devotions. You say, well, now, where is that found in the Bible? Well, actually, the Bible doesn't say that we must maintain family devotions, but it says an awful lot about our responsibility to maintain godliness and training within our families. We are responsible to be continually training our families, our children. You can find many verses to that effect in the Old Testament as well as in the New. Let me read a familiar one in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 22. It says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. So, I'm skipping verse 27 down to verse 28, so husbands ought to love their own wives. He who loves his wife loves himself. Now, you get the idea here? In this passage, the parts that speak about Christ and the church and the parts that speak about the husband and wife are so intertwined that sometimes it's hard to tell them apart. But the parallels are very strong. And this tells us that Christ deals with his bride by ministering his word to her, his bride being the church, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. How do husbands lead their wives spiritually? How do they develop them? How do they sanctify and cleanse and cherish their wives the same way? By the Word of God, by the washing of the water of the Word. This is a responsibility. So, that's just one passage. You can go on down, of course, to chapter 6. And it says, "You fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." God expects fathers to teach their wives, yes, and to teach their children. Now, everybody, I think, agrees that parents should teach their children, but far too often this is relegated to the wife, the mother, to teach the children, sort of delegated. The husband delegates that responsibility to the wife, and actually that is appropriate up to a point. I mean, it's perfectly appropriate for a wife to do training with the children. She can, she should. I don't think that she can do it all. I don't think she can do the entire training. I think the father has got to be involved, not only by delegating it to his wife, but also by being personally involved in the process along the way. But it's not that the husband or the father does it all. The wife does none of it. They work together as a team, obviously. But the father must teach his children. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. It doesn't say mothers. Some have thought that by the plural there, that it's a way of including the mothers, and that's possible, but that's not certain. What is certain is that the fathers have this responsibility. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Now, it's true that we can call upon others to help us with that. We can commit training to the church, to the Sunday school. We can commit training to the Christian school. And it's wonderful to have those tools available to us. And we can commit some of the training to the wife, to the mother, that she can carry out in the home. But we can't commit it all to them. There has to be some place where the father is teaching his children the Word of God. And some place where the husband is teaching his wife the Word of God. Now, many men are very intimidated by this whole idea, particularly when it comes to the wife. And there are a couple of reasons for this. One is that in some cases, husbands feel inferior to their wife in regard to spiritual knowledge. I can't teach her. She knows more than I do. That may be true. In some cases, it is obviously true. In some cases, it may not be as true as you think. Sometimes we are misled and deceived by our own fears. But even if it is true, that doesn't mean you can't open the Word of God and read it. You can at least do that much together and pray together. You don't have to have a whole lot of knowledge to do that. You can take the lead in that. There's something about the relationship. The husband, the father, the head of the home, as this passage makes clear. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Now, nobody questions that Christ is the head of the church. No one should question that the husband is the head of the wife. And the husband needs to do some things to take his place of headship in the home, and one of them is he needs to take the lead in family worship. Now, sometimes people don't do this because they don't really know how. It doesn't have to be real complicated. From a practical standpoint, I would strongly suggest that you tie this to a meal. In our home, we have regularly tied it to breakfast over the years, most of the time, though there have been times when we've had to shift to supper, but most of the time, it's a breakfast matter for us because that works better in our schedules than anything else. By the way, we're now virtually empty nesters, so it's back to just my wife and I, but we have breakfast together, and then that's followed by devotions. And I think that's the best way to do it. If you have breakfast in a certain location, a breakfast table, a place where you have your breakfast together, or whatever meal it is, then just bring your devotional material to the table. And before you get up from the table, just finish your meal and say, all right, now we're going to have devotions. In fact, you don't even have to say anything if you've established this pattern. Everybody knows that's what you're going to do. And bring out your Bible. Bring out whatever you're going to use. Go ahead and go right into your family devotions. Doesn't have to be complicated. Doesn't have to be long. Wouldn't half an hour be better than 10 minutes? Of course, but 10 minutes is better than nothing. It's hard to get a whole lot in 10 minutes. I would say we generally approach the half hour more than the 10 minutes, and sometimes 45 minutes. But the length isn't really the point. You have to have enough time to read something from the Word of God and to at least have prayer together, that much, minimal. And then I would suggest that beyond reading the Word of God, you have something that will help stimulate your thinking about the Word of God. Some devotional material that is helpful and appropriate, and that will vary widely depending upon your situation, upon your family. I can remember years ago, we were using Spurgeon's Morning and Evening. Found it wonderful, and it did that first as a couple before we had any children, and then when the children came along, we continued to do it when they were very young, just babes, really too young to understand. But as soon as the children got old enough to be able to learn, then we shifted to material that was age appropriate for the children, and we got children's devotional material. And there's some wonderful children's devotional material available. And so the focus shifted from adult style material to children's style material. But the basic format didn't change. We just shifted the material. But we were still reading something from the Word of God, reading some devotional material. Hymns are a wonderful thing to include in your devotion time, particularly if you've got several people involved. When you're down to two, maybe that's not quite as appropriate, but when you've got three or four, have some children there, use the hymns. Wonderful thing to do. Use the hymns. Sing the hymns, the old hymns. They're full of truth, and it's a wonderful devotional tool. I would recommend that for personal devotions. Read through good, solid hymns. Sing them softly in your private time with the Lord. Sing them to the Lord. Nothing wrong with that. Everything right with that. This is the way to maintain family worship, family devotions. And if you will do that consistently, even just 15 minutes a day, it will have a profound impact upon your family. And if you neglect it, you are losing a golden opportunity that is, there's no way to recover it. I just cannot impress upon you how important this is to have family worship, family altar, family devotions in the home. It is going to, in many cases, make the difference with your children, make the difference between a godly home and a nominal home. This is where the difference lies. Godliness is developed in the home, and then it is forwarded to the church. So please understand that, and if you're not already involved, then get involved ASAP. May God help you. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.